Good morning, and welcome back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And as I mentioned yesterday, the text that we're dealing with, Psalm 41, is a very rich and a very practical text of Scripture. And so I hope that you are finding this to be an encouragement, and I hope that you're sharing it with others who can be benefited by it and can find it to be a great encouragement. The text, as I said, Psalm 41, so we're going to read it together, and I won't necessarily read the entire psalm with you, but we're going to focus in on it piece by piece. Here's what it says. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon his bed of languish. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Thine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to himself, to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite him. Now, yesterday we talked about how to respond to God's kind providence, and the idea is we're to be comforted in it. Well, this morning we're going to look at the second piece of the psalm, and that is the fact that we should never rage against God's harsh providence. And when I use the word providence, I think it's important for me to kind of give you a little bit of a definition of what I mean by that. What I'm saying is that God is not disconnected from his creation. He is personally and actively involved in our lives. And so the way that things unfold over the course of our lives, yes, you could look at it from one side and say, well, the reason that things went the way that they did is because you made this decision and that decision and that other person made this decision and that decision. And you can give like a logical explanation on the human level of why things unfold the way that they do. But there's another side to the equation, and that is the hand of God. And God is working through those things to accomplish good in the lives of the believer. And we see that in Romans chapter 8, and we also see that when we look at the story of Joseph. Joseph made decisions, his brothers made decisions, Pharaoh made decisions, but God allowed those things, permitted those things, guided those things, ultimately to accomplish good. Well, sometimes in our lives, what we experience is not easy, and it's not smooth, and God's still involved in our lives. So the question is, how do we respond to the harsher aspects of God's providential work in our lives? And the answer is we should never rage against it. And we see that in verses 4 to 9. I said, Lord, be merciful to me, heal my soul. I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? This is what David says. And so when we think about it, we need to break it down piece by piece to reflect on David's words. The following section is a reflection on his past, and there is some argument or debate about, you know, how to interpret this statement, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Is David talking about something he's living through at the moment, or is he talking about something that happened in the past? And on some level, it might be a little irrelevant because it was his past experience, and it is his present experience, and he's going to experience these things again in the future. So he is talking about something that's happened, but it's something that he's also living through, and it's something that's probably going to be repeated again in his life. And so as he does this, as he reflects on it, he recognizes and admits, in fact, he's a sinner. And so it is possible that some of his suffering is connected to the decisions he's made, his sin. In verse 4, he says, be merciful, heal my soul, I've sinned against thee. David acknowledges that he's not a sinless man. He laments the dismissive attitude that his enemy has toward him. In verse 5, it says, mine enemies speak evil of me. This is what they're saying. When shall he die and his name perish? They're gloating over the fact that David is weak. Not only are they doing that, but he's lamenting that they're plotting to use this weakened condition against him. In verse 7, he says, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. They're plotting to take advantage of David's weakness and his infirmity. They are people that he counted as friends, and they're exploiting his vulnerability. In verse 9, he says, "Mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Now, this statement is important because we will come back to it, because it's not just what David's experiencing in the moment or what he had experienced, but it's actually pointing forward to the experience of someone that David is looking to for strength, and that is the Lord Jesus. So just hold on to that. We're going to come back to it on another day. And as he reflects on this, he also uses words like mercy. He viewed God as kind and compassionate. Even though David's experiencing this, he is looking at it in the right way. He realizes that God is permitting something, but he's not disconnected. And he realizes that part of him not being disconnected is that he is emotionally engaged. He actually cares about David. He loves David. He's compassionate toward him. So he doesn't see God as an enemy. He sees him as his advocate. And he acknowledges his sin. So he realizes that God has the right to allow him to go through misery. It's not like David is sinlessly perfect and God somehow being unjust when he permits suffering in David's life. And he's very humbled in the way that he appeals. He didn't act like he was entitled. He didn't say, "God, you have to do this because I'm perfect." He says, "God, I've sinned. Have mercy." So these are pieces to this issue of how David relates to God's kind providence, or God's harsher providence, that we need to learn from. We need to think about what he's saying. And so this morning, before I say have a wonderful day, I want to leave you with this thought. If you are suffering right now and you are tempted to think God is evil, God is unjust, God is unkind, God is disconnected, God doesn't care, I want to remind you of something this morning that's not true. You are accepting lies about God. Just because his hand in your life at the moment is giving you or permitting in your life harsh consequences or harsh difficulties or harsh circumstances, and even circumstances that you can't totally make sense of, and in some ways you feel like you should be insulated from them, you need to recognize God's character is unchanging. And you're going to see how this is laid out in the text as we move our way through the week. But I want to leave you with that encouragement. Wisdom in those moments causes us to be humble. And causes us to recognize there's aspects of God's nature that I don't quite understand that I need to learn. And so I pray that this morning that's what will happen. Have a great rest of your day, and Lord willing, tomorrow we will meet again as we continue to develop this text of Scripture and hopefully encourage you as we move our way through it. Have a blessed day. Bye now.